Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories, with this radio show, printed magazines, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. Thank you so much for listening today. We have a very special Valentine's Day show ready for you for the next hour. We're going to be speaking with guest Lauren Marie Galley. Actress, right? Couldn't I, Katie? Actress Lauren Marie Galley.
Actress, cool. Advocate, student leader, change agent. I mean, the list is long and wonderful for Lauren.
It's hard to believe she's only 18, isn't it?
It really is. And when you talk to her and hear her, it's like, oh, my God, I was not like that at 18.
I know. I'm thinking, I'm embarrassed. We're not going to say what I was like at 18. But anyway, let's do one thing first. Let's thank Blog Talk Radio, because we're always so thankful to the staff at Blog Talk Radio for taking such great care of the Best Ever You Show. They feature our show. They feature our guests. They're so kind and supportive to everything that we're trying to do. Our show is, gosh, it's reaching millions of downloads and people, and it's amazing, isn't it, Katie? I'm just so thankful.
It is, and I just am, yes, I'm very grateful, and really, it's just been wonderful getting to know the people through this show. It's fun.
Yeah, it's funny how we started so long ago now. It's almost it'll be 3 years of doing this show, and
yeah.
It's just wild. Remember what we thought we were talking into, like, the air? Was anybody listening? Kind of funny, and now people are listening and tweeting. I do have a chat room open on the show, so on your computer we've got a whole chat room open. You can type in your questions to Lauren or to us. You can call us at 714-868-0220 if you have a question. We'll maybe take some phone calls for Lauren. And then be sure and find us on Twitter, all three of us. Best Ever You is just Best Ever YOU on Twitter. Dr. Katie is DrKatieE. And Lauren is Lauren M. Galley, GALLEY. So we're all on Twitter if you want to give us a shout-out or anything while we're on air. We'd appreciate it. And if you have any questions, just let us know. So, okay, Lauren, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to our show. We're so excited to have you here with us. And,
Thank you.
Yeah, we're here to talk about not only your acting career, which is really just, I mean, that must be just so much fun, but we're also here to talk about Girls Above Society. And I think I'm going to start there because just let you tell us what Girls Above Society is.
Girls Above Society is an organization that I created, and it's designed to promote self-confidence and leadership for teen girls that are just facing the pressures of today's society. You know, being a teenager today is really tough, and it's getting tougher. And the statistics are rising for stuff like suicide and depression and self-harm. And I noticed that, and so that really kind of motivated me to create a program that allows these girls to, you know, talk about the issues in a group, and the girls can kind of support each other and realize that they're not alone and everyone deals with these same pressures and issues.
Did you have pressures and issues even just starting the group, though? I mean, I can't imagine being a teenager and saying, okay, I'm going to start. It's already kind of a touchy subject and everything, and then to try and get a grip on it on top of it, did you get any kind of, was there any trouble with creating the group, or was everybody like, what a great idea, let's all get on board?
I've gotten really positive feedback about it. I haven't had anyone really say anything negative. I figure those people just probably aren't saying anything at all, which is fine. But when I first started it, I got the idea, and I told my parents about it, and I told Silk Kozart, who's one of my mentors, and he's on the board. for Girls Above Society, and they were kind of like, okay, well, that's a good idea, but how are you going to do that? I said, I don't know. You know, like, well, just do it. And so, you know, they had to remind me, you have to be patient. These things take time. So I told myself, you know, okay, I'm going to be patient. In order to help this many people, you have to, like, get a business plan and get all these things started. And I just wanted to be like, okay, I'm going to help girls tomorrow. And they're like, well, you can't really just show up somewhere. You have to have a plan. But once I, you know, got through that process, now it's kind of like all that stuff is done and I'm like ready to go for it. And now it's the fun part. So I'm excited.
It's funny. It sounds like a Katie thing. Katie needs a plan.
And she's so right. I mean, I am just the girl who says, what's the plan? What are the goals? What are the strategies? We're an adult, a pain in the neck when we do that. But, you know, actually, you made a great point, Lauren. Any good idea starts with just an idea. And then you make it happen by the people around you and sharing that idea. So I want to hear more. I'm really curious. Can you talk to us more about you had an idea, you got a bunch of people together, and then what was the first thing you did with the girls?
Well, the first thing I had to do was I had to figure out, okay, I'm going to help these girls, but you have to have an organized way to do that. I can't just be like, okay, I'm going to help everyone because that's going to end up being crazy. So I designed a Girl Talk, which is a program through Girls Above Society, and it gives me the opportunity to actually meet the teen girls and talk to them face-to-face about the pressures that we face today. And Girl Talks are geared for girls in grades like 5th through 9th. And it can be any group of girls that want to get together and do one. And we started out by watching a short video that kind of depicts one of the pressures that girls face. And that's when me being an actress comes in handy because I'm able to help create one of those videos. And that element's really cool because things are so visual these days. So the girls really relate to watching a video. And I think it's more interesting than me just sitting there telling them about it. They get to see something. And it's a great starting off point for conversation because they'll say, okay, well, what did y'all think about that? And at first, they're always really shy to say anything or say their opinion. But it's amazing how once it gets started and I'll say, have y'all dealt with anything like this? And one girl raises her hand and says, oh, this happened to me. And then it's amazing how the girl next door is like, that happened to me too. And you can see the realization of them like, oh, we're not alone. Like, you dealt with that too. It was really cool. And then after we watch the video, we'll make a glitter jar, which all it is glue, glitter, and water. And it's really cool. Every girl gets to make one. And when you feel stressed, you can just shake the jar and watch the glitter fall. And it's really pretty and relaxing. And it's kind of a souvenir that they get to take home. And then after that, we'll do a really fun photo shoot. And it helps the girls, you know, create some memories that they can take with them.
I love the glitter jar. I'm back on the glitter jar. You said glitter.
Yeah, they're awesome.
It's Valentine's Day, and I'm like, I want glitter.
Every time I do a Girl Talk, I end up keeping one because I just love them. So I end up with a whole bunch. I'm like, our whole house is going to be decorated with them pretty soon.
That's really what a neat idea, and what a wonderful idea. And kudos to you for helping kids because, you know, I like to think, you know, let's talk about boys for a minute. You know, I send my four boys to school, and I have four boys. They're 11, 13, 15, and 17. And Katie's the mom of an 11-year-old daughter. And you think, okay, nothing's going to happen to our kids today. They're all going to be fine, and they're just going to sit there and do their schoolwork, and nothing will happen. But that's really not reality, is it?
No, it's not.
What are some of the things that happen?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, what are the pressures, Lauren? Boy, we as moms, we're like, okay, tell us the pressures.
Because I feel like I need bubble wrap. Quantity. I just want to send my kids to a bubble wrap. We'll be safe.
Yeah, I think it's amazing how girls, like, there's just a lack of self-confidence among girls these days is what I've noticed. And I think a big reason for that is the media. Because, you know, on all these reality TV shows, they advocate, like, size 00 girls who are usually, you know, drinking and partying and participating in those types of activities. And it makes girls think, well, I need to act like that and look like that in order to be accepted. And I think that's a huge source of the problem. And also, you know, magazine covers and things like that, they're Photoshop. So I always tell the girls, like, the model doesn't even look like that. So it's silly for you to want to look like something that literally doesn't exist. But
you know,
as young girls, you don't.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, as young girls, you don't think about that. You just look at it and think, she's so pretty, I want to look like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would tell you, too, you know, I'm way older than you, approaching 44. I'm not quite certain that ever goes away either, in a tremendously confident way where, Katie, you know, you and I talk about this all the time. You know, we do look at magazines and go, oh, wow, it'd be nice to look like her, or it'd be nice to be younger, not have wrinkles, or be skinnier or taller or whatever. And it's something we deal with all as women,
yes. And when you get older and you go, like last night I was at the drugstore picking out a Valentine for my husband, and I was reading through all these Valentines, and I said, oh, man, that shipped on sale.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, I did that this morning, too. I'm like, well.
No, you kind of, you know, as you get older, your attitude, your values change, what's important to you, and so it's absolutely different insecurity, I think. That's my thought.
Yes.
But, Lauren, what about, how young are the kids you start with?
Well, it's geared towards grades 5 through 9, and I think that all girls really deal with the pressures, and it's getting younger and younger that you start dealing with it, and that's why I have 5th grade now, which that still blows my mind, because I'm thinking, and even when I was in 5th grade, you know, I'm only 18, and it was so different. Like, I wasn't thinking about anything like that, so it's just getting, like, younger and younger, and it's crazy. And it goes up to 9th grade, and the reason for that is I would love to help all girls in high school, and I do help older girls as well, but the girl talks like you're younger, because I know, because I went through the same phase, once you hit a certain age and you're talking to someone who's only 1 or 2 years older than you, you kind of have, like, the I know everything, so you don't know anything. So considering my age, I'm like, I think it's easier to touch girls who are a few years younger, because then they look at me and think, oh, well, she knows a lot more because she's older.
Yeah. And when you're can you maybe name what maybe your 5 top topics might be that you would talk to these girls about?
Yes. Self-confidence is definitely number 1, because everything seems to go back to that. And we talk about bullying as well, because that's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And we also talk about things like depression and self-harm and eating disorders. Because although the last two, not every girl experiences that in their life, a lot of girls do. And the number that do is increasing.
Okay. And there will be thousands of teens that listen to this show. You're going to touch lives just by being here and somebody listening to you. And somebody might be listening to you and not feeling so great. They may be thinking, I've been bullied, I've been picked on, I don't feel skinny enough, you know, what you just said, but basically internalizing it and really not feeling well. Can you give them, and Katie, you might need to step in here too from more of a medical standpoint, but can you give them an avenue with which to contact you, you know, hold a girl talk or reach out to you, or what would, you know, to somebody listening right now who feels like they might need help, where do we go with that? Between the two of you, you can answer that because it's a multi-layered question.
Well, my website is girlsabovesociety.org, and I have a contact section on there, and I always encourage girls to contact me at any time of the day, whenever they want. I check it really frequently, so I'll get it really fast, and I have a separate phone number for Girls Above Society that's on the website as well. And so I would encourage girls to check that out. And I have texting on that phone. And I've had several girls, you know, it's kind of scary to call and talk to someone, but just text me. I say, too, you know, that's an easy, you know, so many teens communicate that way. And that's so easy. And I am more than happy to do something like that.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add, if there are people listening who are concerned about a girl or a girl who's listening who's having depressive, you know, helpless, feeling sad all the time, not sleeping, difficulty eating, really isolated, or just worried about herself, or someone who's worried about a girl, there are hotline numbers, and we'll post them on our website after this call and on Lauren's website so that you can have help immediately, right away, from someone who can talk to you who's a professional.
Yep.
And that's really important because Lauren is a support, but she's not a professional. So, guys,
right.
If you're out there and you need help, go to a professional. And if you don't have time to get to the hotline number, then call your emergency room. There's always help available.
Katie, so often, and I'm going to interview Katie for a second, Lauren, just on that note, just for one second here, because it's important. Katie, there's so many teenagers out there who really do struggle with this. They don't. I use a generalization of they just don't feel well. You know, something just they're getting picked on or they're getting bullied or they don't feel like they fit in or don't feel right or, you know, the list really can go on and on in various directions of what goes through someone's mind. But so often people don't feel like they want to turn to their parents or to the school because the problems get worse.
Right.
What do you do when you feel that way?
Well, number one, there are always adults in your world who can be supportive. If you talk to one and it doesn't work, you go to the next one and you find them. There are, if you don't want to talk to somebody at your school, you can always talk to somebody in a community area. You know, if you're a part of a Boys and Girls Club, you can walk into any church, you can walk into any spiritual community, you can walk into the police station. There are always places you can go. Online, there's hotline numbers. Look up, I'm a depressed teenager, boom, it comes up.
Yeah.
There are always, always, always adults who will help you. And never, ever give up on that.
Yeah,
that is so important.
And what I love about this, too, is it looks like now people your own age to help you as well, or
right.
maybe just a tiny bit older or closer in age to you. I think that's so neat because, you know, when I was a teenager, this didn't exist. I would have loved Girls Above Society and the ability to reach out to Lauren and say, hey, I'm having a bad day. I don't feel good or whatever. I feel fat in my jeans today, Lauren. What are we going to do about it?
Right. And I love that she's creating a community where the girls can talk to each other and find out they're not alone. I think that's – and Lauren, can you tell us more about the community you're trying to create?
Yeah, I always encourage girls to talk to their friends, like the girls that are the same age as them, their peers in school, because I know when I was younger, there's always this thing of I don't want to talk to my parents either because they're embarrassed, they think they're going to get in trouble, is it something that, you know, they think they've done wrong? Or also there's just a simple, like, they don't understand. It's been forever since they were in school. And so the age gap causes this thing where kids don't really want to go to their parents because that's weird and they don't understand and they're not going to help. They're just going to lecture me or whatever they think. So I always tell the girls that it took me a while to realize this too, but that your parents' advice, whether you like it or not, is almost always right. And I've realized that along the way, and my friends have realized it too, and it just takes a while, but I also tell them that, you know, I understand that sometimes it's weird to go to your parents and not everyone wants to go to them about everything. But if you can go to your best friend or the girl in your class or someone that, you know, close to your age and goes to your school and you can sit down and talk about these things, they're going through the exact same thing at the same time as you. And you automatically then just build a support system right at school. And, you know, your friends are always a text message away. They're always on Facebook. You can always get in contact with them. And I think sometimes that's the best help that you can get because you can both bounce ideas off of each other, and it's a good way for them to realize that they're not alone and that, you know, even my friend goes through this. So I think that it would be wonderful to see girls communicating more like that.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm going back on the parents thing for a minute here because parents, if you're listening and you're wondering how to help your teenager, I'm sure we have some listeners like that. One thing I found, and I know, Katie, you and I talk about this a lot, also, is that to kind of be like a teenager in a way, I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter. I do listen to their rap music as much as it kills me, almost. I go into my son's car, and I'm like, what are we listening to? Well, that's a cool song. You know, making those connections that bridge that gap of what they're doing. Even though you're older and you might not love everything that they listen to, do, tweet, watch, Katie, help me, on and on and on. It's so important.
Absolutely.
It's so important to sit from that standpoint, though, and put on their shoes, put on their headphones, and be them, you know, in a way on the computer, so you can completely get a almost like a reality check of what their life is like.
Right. I mean, I may get the name of the group wrong. I might call it New Direction instead of One Direction or whatever it is. But I know every word to the song, and I embarrass the heck out of her when I sing it in the car, but I know it. And absolutely. And I think that, you know, we make fools out of ourselves as parents so often trying to connect with our kids. Boy, do we ever.
But we
try. But Lauren's absolutely right. As parents, we need to step away and let the peers do their thing with a watchful eye and ear. And with our nose, you know, we got to listen. We got to know what they're doing. But we also need to give them the freedom to talk to one another without us. And that's a hard thing as a parent. I mean, it just, you got to learn to do it. But
yeah, it's freaky. It's kind of freaky, though, without being a complete uncool parent. You know, it's almost like, you know, like I'll put the kids in the car and I'll have the music up or whatever and I'll start singing. They'll be like, Mom, just stop. You're not cool.
Yeah,
or whatever,
right.
You know, kind of thing. But, you know, at least I'm halfway clued in to what they are doing. And I can't stress that enough as just maybe some helpful tip to give to parents. Don't be so lost in your own, you know, lawyer or job or whatever you've got going on that you completely don't have a pulse or a beat on what's happening with that age group.
Yeah. And Lauren, what do you think about that? I'm so curious.
Yeah,
what do you think about us parents making fun of ourselves by acting like complete idiots and dancing with our kids to their music? And when they go, oh, God, Mom, that's so embarrassing.
I get that all the time.
I think that's a wonderful thing, though. I think that more parents should be like that and making the effort. I would much rather have my mom embarrass me by trying to sing along to my music than have her completely uninterested, because that's when I think girls start to feel alone and like no one cares. So I think that's wonderful. And also, I would encourage parents as well to not wait for their teen to come to them with a problem, because I think a lot of moms, you know, sometimes girls at home, they're going to smile and act happy and do their homework, but you don't know what goes on at school or with their friends or what they're really dealing with, and they might not come to you about it. So I also think it would be wonderful to see more parents going to their teens and saying, like, well, I know these are the issues that your, you know, generation deals with these days. Like, are you dealing with this? And sometimes if someone goes to you first, then you're more likely to tell them about it instead of you having to approach them.
Yeah. Do you, I know I've got a lot of questions here and stuff, but do you think a lot of, Katie, feel free to chime in here too, but this question's for Lauren. Lauren, do you think a lot of what happens to teenagers is based around just relationship skills? And I mean that from a standpoint of girl to girl or boy, girl, whatever, but just how to get along and just basic relationship skills.
Yes, I think that's a huge part of it, because some girls don't know how to go up to someone else and talk to them about something like this, or even just approach someone and make friends, and that can make you feel really alone and like no one cares about you. But that's not necessarily the case, you know. Sometimes I will be in class and I'll see that girl who's really quiet and keeps to herself, and I usually go out of my way to talk to her, because chances are she's not rude or stuck up, she's just shy or insecure, doesn't know how to approach someone with that. So I think that if more girls are aware of that, I think that would be a lot better. At school, girls tend to get in their cliques with their friends, and they don't worry about anyone else.
Yeah.
And then you think, what about the girl who doesn't have a clique of friends, who kind of is shy and sits in the back of the classroom? She's going to end up feeling really alone and like no one cares.
Yeah. Do kids, I know when I was a kid, I never thought to ask this really of anybody. I never thought to say, to go up to somebody and say, what's going on in your house? You know, like, what's going on in your house? Are your parents divorced? Are you going back and forth every other weekend to a different home or city? Or there are so many things that I think as an adult now looking back, I wish I would have known, thought of, or asked of people to make sure that they were okay. Is there more awareness like that in the high schools or in the middle schools of what the kids might actually be going through at home that might be causing some of the behavior to others at school? You know, they might be frustrated with mom and dad's recent divorce or a recent move or whatever.
I think there definitely should be. I know, you know, in high school, I knew of a lot of people who their parents were going through a divorce, and it's just some of those things you never hear them talk about it because they don't want to. It's become the cool thing to act like you're fine and you have no problems. So they don't want to come out and say anything to anyone because then they're not cool or, you know, popular anymore. And I think that that idea needs to go away and that we all need to talk about stuff like that, because I know with me, something's bothering me. I might not really want to talk about it, but once I do, it's amazing how it's like something is lifted off your shoulders, especially when you're talking to someone who says, I completely understand what you're going through. You kind of realize, oh, wow, I feel so much better. And if you keep that bottled up, eventually you're going to explode. And that's, of course, what you want to avoid.
Yeah.
And
hey,
it sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love what she's saying because, man, what I love about this is, and I know they have a film series, that they're actually helping girls see the scenarios that they might come into. And sometimes they don't want to talk about it because they don't know how.
Yeah.
They don't know how to talk about things because they've never really learned. And they're not at that age level yet really always understanding what they're feeling. They've got the hormone thing. They've got all kinds of social stuff going on, a lot of pressure. And they may not know how to say what they're feeling or what's happening. And a lot of times, you're right, Lauren, I think it's really important to give them tools. How do you start a friendship in fifth grade? I mean, my kiddo's fifth grade. And, boy, girl drama, oh, my word. There's a lot to be learned about how to cope with that. Tell us more about the films. I really want to learn more about these scenarios you guys are doing.
I am really excited about the film series. We are in pre-production for it right now with Sinsing Studios. And it's going to be a drama style, and it's going to hit all the hot topics and pressures, like bullying, teen pregnancy, self-esteem. I've seen the first episode, and the writers are amazing. And I really think that these girls are going to love it and connect with it. And the great thing about the series is that you can either watch an individual episode, and it makes sense, or you can watch it as a series so that I could have a reoccurring girl talks with the same group of girls. And I think that's going to be really beneficial because I know the first time you meet someone, you might connect with them and like them, but you might not want to come up to them and tell them your problems. But the third or fourth time, you kind of have a relationship now, and you feel it's more likely that the girls will, you know, say something or feel like it's okay to come to me with their problems. And that's, you know, of course, what I want. So I'm so excited about the film series. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think that just sounds incredible. But here's a question I have for you. For everybody participating in that, this is going to come out. Somebody might have to rephrase this question a few times to get it to come out right, but couldn't you even be bullied for doing that? Do you know what I mean? Where people might say, oh, well, you guys think you're better than everybody or whatever. You know, people bully people because they're pretty or an actress or putting together movies or films or things like that. How do you deal with that?
I've definitely had some of that.
I've had it a lot in my life, so I know.
Yes, but just in general, too, you know, because I'm a college student and I go to class like everyone else, and not that I walk around telling people all the time, but in conversation I mention, oh, I do acting or modeling, and it's amazing how not everyone says, oh, that's so cool. They're kind of like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I'm all that or something. You think,
yeah.
No, that's my hobby. Like, you might play soccer, and that's cool, too. So I think that definitely comes with it a lot.
I absolutely love your answer right there.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's my hobby, and what do you do? Or, you know, it's just you acknowledge it, but you don't really downplay it, but you pull it back to the other person and say, well, I'm really interested in about you. what do you do that's really neat too? What's your skill? What do you, you know, do you write? Do you play soccer? Do you play baseball? Do you, you know,
right.
whatever? I love that, Lauren.
Yeah, because chances are
they do something that I don't know how to do or I'm not good at. So I don't understand. I always think that we should learn from each other instead of being like, oh, you think you're better than me because you do that. I'm like, no, you do something I don't do either. You know, it's like, why can't we play off of each other?
Perfect. I love that because there can be a real nastiness that comes with the whole modeling, acting, video thing, and to top it off to be as beautiful as you are inside and out and then have some good grades on top of it, it's like a recipe for, hi, sign me up for being bullied and picked on. And, I mean, it really is. It's a perfect brew for it. And I love the way you handle yourself. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the message of, and I'm thinking about this with my own daughter, you know, she's starting to be quiet about things she's good at because she's afraid people will not like her. And that is so important, what you just said about, you know, well, you're good at something else. I might be good at this. I might like to read books all the time, but you're great at baseball. So it's that message of, hey, I'm okay at this, but you're good at something too. No matter anyone listening, everybody is good at something. And how do you help girls figure that out, Lauren?
I always encourage girls to find, I call it like their thing. And what I mean by that is something that you love to do. Because most people, if you ask them if they have a hobby, they have something. But a lot of girls take a while to find that. And I was one of those girls. It took me a while to figure out what I really like to do. I kind of tried everything and realized, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that. And it can be kind of discouraging. But once you find that thing, it's amazing how it kind of brightens up your life a little bit. And it can be an escape. And I always ask the girls at a girl talk, like, how many people have a hobby that they love to do, it makes them happy, and it's like an escape from the real world? And it's amazing how many girls don't really have anything. They just go to school and come home. And I always encourage girls to find that, because chances are, if you love math and you join the math club, you're going to make a lot of friends in the math club because they like the same thing you do. So it's kind of an automatic way to gain friends and who have, you know, the same interests and usually the same morals and values as you. And then you don't feel like you're alone in your hobby or anything. And then when someone asks you about it, you can be proud of it because you know you have these many people next to you who love it as well.
I love that. It's almost like the law of attraction for teenagers.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you, Lauren, do you know, I'm just curious, do you know what the law of attraction is?
I don't.
I would love for us, for me and Katie, or just Katie, whoever has time or whatever, to mentor you on that, because it will serve you beautifully, to some extent anyway, to just be aware of it, because it's basically what you're saying without knowing that you've said it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Really,
go ahead, Katie.
Positive energy brings back positive energy. So positive statements bring back positive statements, and that's exactly what you're doing, Lauren. You're teaching and modeling for these girls to find the positive in themselves and to bring that out to the world, which then brings more positive. So I'm just really, gosh, I'm so impressed. I'm blown away. And I'm taking notes and all these things I'm going to say to my daughter now. So I'm wondering, Lauren, what was something you went through as a pressure? Can you talk a little bit about a pressure you might have felt when you had to figure something out and get help or talk to a friend? Or can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, I definitely had my own fair share of pressures. You know, I think everyone goes through it, and I'm definitely no exception to that. Most of mine had to do with dating and boys, and not necessarily the boys, but the catty girls that go along with that. And I usually tell the girls at girl talk about this one story, and it's funny to me now. At the time, my life was, you know, of course, ending, but now it's just humorous. I think it was 7th or 8th grade. I know it was middle school, and I had a friend on the cheer team, and she had a boyfriend, and I was friends with her boyfriend, too, and we were talking in the hallway, and I went to cheer class, and when I walked past her, she was like, what are you looking at? And I was kind of like, what? She said, oh, I know you're flirting with my boyfriend, so we're not friends anymore. I was like, what just happened? So I had crazy stuff like that where I'm like, what's going on? And she was, like, mad at me for, you know, girls can hold grudges, so it was, like, a month. I was like, I have no idea what I just did. And it made me feel horrible because I thought, oh, my gosh, like, she's mad. And then I'm like, she's going to make everyone else mad. And I kind of felt like an outcast almost.
You know, so, I'm chiming in here for a minute because I've had that happen to me. And I have so too many times in my life to count, really. And but I want to share with you something. I was at my son's swim team the other day, probably about a month ago, not the other day. And there were these three girls in front of the door, and I was the only adult right there. And they were probably a couple of years younger than you, and they were having this discussion about this other girl. And one of the girls was crying, and she was like, I don't know what I did. I don't know why that girl doesn't like me. I don't know why she said that to me. But she kept saying, I don't know what I did. I don't know what just happened. What did I do? What did I do? And I kept hearing, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Over and over again. And I stepped in, and I took all three of them aside. I said, I'm Elizabeth from besteveryou.com. I just want to, if I could, politely interrupt your conversation for a minute here and just maybe give you a little bit of coaching from an older standpoint or whatever here, but have any of you ever thought that maybe it's not you? Maybe that
exactly.
girl is going through something at home, or the list is, like we were talking about earlier, long with what could be happening to that girl. Maybe her boyfriend earlier in the day threatened to break up. You have no idea. But I couldn't figure out why all three of those girls went automatically to the what did I do instead of, wow, maybe we need to help her, ask her if she's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good for you, Elizabeth, for stepping in there. And that is so great. I mean, Lauren, what do you think about that?
I think that's so true. And it's funny, I always tell the girls that the girl talks that when we talk about bullying, I'll say, well, did you guys ever think that sometimes the bully needs help just as much as the person who's being bullied? And usually they look at me really confused, like, why would we help the bully? We don't like them. I try and tell them that, you know, usually people don't bully because they're evil people. Usually they have something else going on or they feel insecure, so they're taking it out on everyone else.
Yeah, or their influence, you know, maybe they've grown up in a household of complete violence and it's all they know. I mean, you have no idea what people are going through, and it's not to excuse that behavior or anything like that. But it's just to broaden kind of the awareness and just make sure people, you know, it might be you, you know, it might have been them, but maybe it wasn't. And, you know, behavior sometimes is very 50-50, but I notice a lot of the time I'll hear even as an adult, my friends will say in talking about their youth or their college or anything like that, and they'll say, you know, like if a boy or man breaks up with them, what's wrong with me? What did I do? What I hear that a lot, Katie. Don't you hear that? Like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he like me? What's wrong with me? And maybe the answer is nothing.
Hey, I love this saying. This is a saying, since I'm the old lady on the phone here.
Sure not.
I know. I love the saying someone taught me one time, what other people think of you is none of your business.
I love that.
I do too.
It doesn't matter. It's what you think of you. And really what you're saying when you're saying, what did I do? It's a reflection of you not being strong enough. And at that age, you're not yet, for the most part. We're not, I mean, even at this age, we're not. So it's being able to say, and like put an imaginary mirror in front of you and reflect it back to the other person and say, you know, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to learn from you. But what you're thinking of me right now has nothing to do with me. I need to think about what I feel about myself. And that's really, if we could learn that young, man, that would help us so much, because we keep learning that lesson our whole lives. I mean, this doesn't end in teenage years,
no.
I'm sorry to say. But if you could get those tools, which is really what you're trying to do, which is incredible, because then you save yourself a whole lot of hassle later on.
The other thing I would say is I don't know that it's necessarily just girls that walk around going, what did I do,
right,
or what's
right
wrong with me, or whatever. Boys have this too. It just comes out in different forms. I mean, my son, my 11-year-old, just got dumped 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Aww.
And I put that in, like, quotes of, like, I got dumped. And, you know, he's trying to joke around about it, but there were tears. Real tears. And he's like, is it because I wear glasses, Mom? And I'm like, oh, my God, no, you know, kind of thing. And we had given, you know, I don't want to do too much detail here, but, you know, just it was sad. And boys do that, too. They're like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, yeah, we all do it.
I think everybody does.
I mean, everybody does it. And it's just how you deal with it. So I just think it's wonderful what you're doing. And what's been the response, Lauren, from these? What do the girls do after you have the girl talk? How do they respond after? Do you get emails back from them? What's been the response to this movement you're creating?
The response has been amazing. And actually the last girl talk that I did, I almost started tearing up because it was just an amazing feeling. This girl came up to me afterwards, and she said, oh, can I talk to you for a second? And I was kind of like, okay. And she pulled me aside, and I said, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, everything's really good. She's like, I just wanted to let you know that before today, I never really felt confident, and I always feel really sad and lonely. She said, but now I think I know how to be confident and how to make friends more. So I just wanted to say thank you. And that was just an amazing feeling. I was like, wow, I really just, you know, possibly changed someone's life by just simply being there for them and reminding them that they're not alone. And that's the real reason I want to do this. You know, I figure if I touch one girl, then my job is done.
Well, and you touch one girl who then touches another, who touches the boy who she's involved with,
yes,
who touches that kid's boy. I mean, the ripple of what you're doing is amazing. It really is.
Let's take a break for a second. We've got to acknowledge our sponsor for a second here, Katie, which is Delamore. So just a quick minute here break of just saying hello to everyone at Delamore.com, which is DellaMore.com, or you can find them at Twitter at DellaAmore. And Katie, how are you loving the pasta sauce from Delamore?
I am so grateful to Delamore. My kid has never eaten spaghetti sauce ever. She has been like, ew. She loves it. And it has just been so wonderful because I've been trying to get her those tomato vitamins in there. And I love the ingredients in their sauce. And so, hey, shout out to Delamore. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're a great company, and they're gluten-free, and my dad's diabetic, and he can eat it. It's sugar-free, and it's just the ingredients are so simple. And so we just love our sponsor, Delamore. Thank you very much to everybody at Delamore. You can go to DellaMore.com. You can order pasta sauce online, which is really cool, or you can check your local grocery store, and if they don't carry it, maybe request it because it's spreading all around the country with being in grocery stores, too. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, we had to get that. We had to get our Delamore love in because it's Valentine's Day and we love them. Okay, so I know I interrupted us because we're almost done with the show and we didn't talk about Delamore. But where were we? We were talking about girl talks and just the incredible response that you receive when you do one of those girl talks. And what I wanted to ask you is if someone wants to book a girl talk with you, how do they do that, and is there a cost?
There is no cost because I want my program to be available to everyone, even teens who are maybe economically not doing as well, because sometimes those are the girls who need it the most almost, because as a parent, if you're worried about what you're going to eat for dinner tonight, that's understandable. You should worry about that, but you forget about the other. So I definitely want my girl talk to be available to everyone. So there's absolutely no cost. And if you go to the website, it's girlsabovesociety.org. There is a contact page, and you can just contact me and tell me that you want to book a girl talk and what it's for, and I will be more than happy to come out.
Yeah. Let's talk about your mom for a minute. Does your mom care if we talk about her live on the radio?
No.
Did your mom just every once in a while just give you the biggest hugs and just, you know, just she just must be so proud of you. But she must scratch her head every once in a while going, wow, you are a wise child.
Yeah, she always jokes around. She's like, I'm the fun one, you're the boring one. And she'll use the example of, like, there was one day in high school where she's like, oh, do you want to go to Starbucks? And I was like, no, I have to study for a test tomorrow. And she was like, whose child are you? Which I find hilarious. But, yeah, both my parents, or really just everyone that's close to me, is really proud of me for what I'm doing. And, you know, they all want to be as involved as possible, and they think it's amazing. And I wouldn't be able to do something like this without that support. So I'm beyond grateful for it.
Did you learn this?
Go ahead, Katie. I was just going to say, and you're developing a nonprofit organization out of this, and I mean, this is growing like crazy. How can other people get involved in this?
I would love, my goal for Girls Above Society is for it to go nationwide, and I would love to have, you know, because I want to touch every girl, or as many girls as possible, but unfortunately, I live in Texas, and I can't be in every city at once, and I wish I could, but I would love for girls to be able to do girl talks in their hometown and, you know, get people on board with Girls Above Society to do that. So that's my goal for the future, because I think that would be amazing to see other girls doing the same thing in their community, because then it creates a movement, and you get, you know, pretty soon, I think it will be like a domino effect, and everyone will hear about it and be touched by it, and then we can change society's perception of things.
I think that's my goal for you, too, and that's when I first met you, it wasn't all that long ago, probably a month ago maybe 6 weeks ago now, maybe even just a tad bit longer, but when I first met you, I thought, oh, my gosh, finally, a chief teen advisor. I mean, I remember calling Katie going, there she is. We're going to do best ever you teens now. And, you know, that I think that we share your vision and wanting to help you get your message out to every high school and middle school across this country and hold those girl talks and have you, you know, you are our best ever you teen chief advisor. And we want, you know, we just want you to be so successful.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's meeting people like y'all and all the other amazing people I've met through Twitter and things like that that are so supportive and want to help. You know, that's the people you have to get in touch with to get the word out there and really make a difference. So I appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
Yeah, and you know, go ahead, Katie.
Well, and we've been there. We've been the girl bullied. I mean, I have definitely been bullied, and we know what it's like to be lonely, be sad, be isolated, feel like we're not good enough. And if we can touch the life of any teen now and make their life easier and help them develop those tools, wow, they're just going to be such better off when they're adults. So I know there are other people listening who have gone through it as well, who also want to see this succeed. So can you mention your website again? I want to make sure that
the website is girlsabovesociety.org.
Yeah, and if people want to make a donation to your website, do you have a way to get involved that way too just yet?
Yes, right on the homepage there is a donate button, and all you have to do is click and you name the amount, and really anything helps. I mean, whether it's like $5, $50, $500, you know, everything adds up and it helps to expand my program. And we're also going to be announcing some really fun ways that you can get involved. So I encourage everyone to stay tuned and keep checking the website for those details.
All right, so now we're going to shift gears one more time and talk about you as Lauren, the actress. If we can. I'm so interested in hearing about all the interesting things that you're doing. Actually, people are tweeting us saying, don't forget before you end the show to ask her about things like The Lying Game and so forth. So go for it. Tell us about your acting career. That's really neat.
Yeah, I've gotten some really awesome opportunities with that. And, I mean, it's one of those things where you meet one person who introduces you to someone else, and pretty soon you're going on all these auditions and meeting all these amazing people. So I've been really blessed with some fun opportunities. My favorite role that I've ever played is definitely, it was in Matt Mercury, which is a comedy sci-fi, and it's geared towards little kids. And I played Lieutenant Sparks, which is the sidekick on the spaceship. I'm like the co-pilot. And I get to wear like this crazy, ridiculous blue wig, and it's so fun. And it's all shot on green screen, and they are in post-production for it right now. So I think I'm more excited than anyone else to see what it ends up looking like. Because when you shoot something on green screen, I'm like, I have no idea what the room I'm in looks like. So I can't wait to see that. That has definitely been probably the highlight of my acting career so far.
That's fun, yeah. I was just going to say, for those who don't know what a green screen is, it literally is a green screen that an actor or like a weatherman gets placed in front of, and then the computer projects the imagery behind you, and they kind of put two and two together to merge the information to make the movie or newscast or whatever. Those are interesting, aren't they, those green screens? You can be anywhere.
It's fun. It's cool. It was an interesting experience acting on one for the first time because you have to kind of memorize your setting because it's not actually there. So when the director is talking you through something and he's like, okay, turn and look at the Cyclops. I have to think, crap, where's the Cyclops?
It's like doing the weather. A weatherman is not pointing to a bunch of states or the world behind him. They're pointing to a blank green screen. And in their peripheral vision is a monitor with, hopefully they can see that far to point where Canada is or whatever. that's definitely a skill to be able to do that. So how much fun. That's a great experience for you.
Yes, it was so fun. And
yeah.
I also recently filmed for Making of a Serial Killer, which is made by the same production company that's doing our film series, Sensing Studios. And that was a lot of fun, too. That's kind of completely different type of movie from Matt Mercury, which is what makes it really cool. It's a kind of creepy thing. It has to do with the devil, and it's real scary, and my character's pretty creepy. So that's really fun as well.
And do you do these things in Los Angeles or in Texas or where? Do you travel, or how do you do all these things?
I've traveled for stuff before, but it's amazing how much goes on in Houston that people don't really realize until you start making those contacts and getting out there, that there's a lot of really good stuff that goes on here.
Yeah, I would have to totally agree with you. You can always find your pocket of acting where you live, and they always do big productions in different states, depending on whether they give film credits or whatever. But do you think you'll move to Los Angeles at some point? Mom, cover your ears in this response, perhaps.
I might
or mom
someday.
Moving, one of the two. I don't know.
Right. I definitely might someday. I have absolutely no aversion to it. The only thing is, if I was going to move out there, I would want to have something lined up. If that makes sense. Like, have a part lined up. I have a director who's interested in seeing me. Because I just know so many people who have moved out there with these big dreams, but they literally know no one there. And they don't even have a job lined up there. And it's sad because they get all excited to go and they end up just coming back home with nothing except you wasted thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So I've kind of learned from other people's mistakes in that respect. So people have been telling me that I should. And, of course, all my friends who are uneducated in the business, like, you should go to L.A. and be famous. I'm like, well, if it works that way, I would, but I don't think it does.
Yeah, there's a second part to that sentence about being famous, and it's always funny to me when, say, people go to Hollywood and be famous. It's like I'm not certain that's always should be the driving motivator of moving to Hollywood.
No.
Because it's almost like you – I know a lot of people that do a lot of acting, and it's actually an incredible – skill, and an incredible amount of time, energy, and it's real work memorizing that stuff.
It's certainly harder than it looks, and it's funny because you can spot the people who are first starting out and they only want to be famous to the people who actually have a passion for acting, because if you just want to be famous, you realize, oh, this is actually hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, never mind then. But then if you really have a passion for it, I mean, I could care less if I'm ever famous or a millionaire. That's the last thing on my mind. I just have fun doing it. It's something that I love to do.
That's a probably a pretty healthy attitude toward it, because it's it definitely is a, it seems like it's a actual lot of work. So I know
it
I
is.
Did, I know I've done, in my time I've done a lot of commercials and things like that, and even just doing a 30-second to minute long commercial can be hours of shooting. Hours.
Yes, it's funny, my friends will, I'll be on set for like, you know, 10 hours or something, and they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, that took so long," and they see the final product and they're like, "Well, I thought you were there for 10 hours." I'm like, it takes longer than you would think.
Oh, it does. Yeah, we did my four boys were in the Easy Pass commercials here in Maine, and they came into our home to film part of it and do the audio, and then used our garage, used our car, and a lot of, you know, just a ton of stuff. And they were here for 2 days.
I believe it.
Commercial. Yeah, it was crazy. And clean. It was great because we got our garage clean and the car clean. It was awesome. I feel like that needed that.
Oh, I love that.
but
Lauren, you're in college now, right?
Yes, I am.
Are you studying acting in college?
I'm not. I'm going to school for clinical child psychology.
Huh. Oh, near and dear to my heart. I actually have the same degree.
Yes, that is the degree I want, and I would like to get my PhD in it, and that's a lot of school, so we'll see. That's a long ways from now, so I figure I'll take it, you know, a year at a time and see what's going on with the acting and the Girls Above Society and everything, but that would definitely be the final goal.
And why? I'm curious why. That's a real decisive move right there, and to say it out loud even, and it sounds like you haven't changed your major 5 times like a lot of people do. It sounds like you're pretty much set on that. I'm curious why.
I actually didn't choose my major until not too long ago. I didn't realize that I always knew I was interested in psychology, but having never taken a class in it, I didn't really realize how much I was interested until I took Intro to Psych. And everyone else was like, "Oh, that class is required and it's so boring." And I was fascinated. I was like studying for fun, and I was so excited about our projects and everything. And everyone was like, "Want to do my homework?" And I'm like, "Okay."
Sounds so familiar.
I just loved it. Yeah, I just loved it. And after that, I wanted to take more psychology classes, and I started doing research of it and talking to other professors at college, and I kind of told them, like, what I would like to do in terms of it, and they said, "Well, it kind of sounds like you're talking about clinical psychology," and then I love helping little kids, and, you know, that would definitely be what I would want to do, is counsel kids who either show early signs of depression or anything, or live in abusive homes, or have been through, you know, a traumatic experience. I would love to be able to help them and counsel them. So that's really what I want to do with my life. And it fits perfectly with Girls Above Society, which works out really well.
Wow, to be 18 and have figured all that out, I am completely blown away. That is so amazing. I mean, I met my psych professors from college 10 years after I'd gotten my doctorate, and they still remembered me falling asleep in class in Intro Psych. So it's really, seriously. She said, "You have a doctorate?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, things change." So I just think that's really, really amazing, Lauren, in that you have left yourself open to experience as many things as you can, which is a really important thing at 18, because life shifts and changes and moves. But having a dream is really amazing. What do you say to girls who have dreams?
I would definitely encourage them to go for it no matter what, because I know a lot of times it can seem like the easier solution to say, "That's really hard, I'll do that later," or "Forget that, that's a lot of work." But chances are, if it's ever been a dream of yours or something that you're really passionate about, you're going to regret that choice. So, of course, like, I don't always want to do my homework or always want to put in the work for it, but in the long run, you think, "I'm so glad that I did that." And that's what I always have to remind myself, is at the time, this might not be tons of fun, but later, I'm going to be so grateful that I did, because I'm going to be able to do what I love to do.
I love that. What a great person. Thank you, Lauren. We are running out of time. And I just want to stop for a second here and just thank you for being with us for the hour. I think we might actually cut off live here, so if you missed the end of the show here, you can go to back to blogtalkradio.com/besteveryou and listen to the end of the show here. We're just going to close up run out of time. We've got about 10 seconds left. So thank you, Lauren, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dr. Katie, for being with us. We had good phone quality with you today, too, which was a blessing. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Lauren.
You too.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And
what a great show.
Let's just do a quick recap of the websites, which is girlsabovesociety.org. And then also you can find Girls Above Society on Facebook at facebook.com/girlsabovesociety. And then on Twitter, Lauren is Lauren M. Galley. So Lauren, LaurenMGalley. And so you can find her in those three ways. And I think you're on Tumblr as well. And I'm trying to learn Tumblr with Lauren's help. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, just thank you so much for being with us. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you for sharing your love with us on Valentine's Day here at Best Ever You. And thank you again to everyone at Blog Talk Radio for featuring our show and for all of your support as well. And then one final thing in closing, the Best Ever You is up for a Shorty Award. We are ranking in the third spot. We're holding in third. And so if you want to vote for us, you can go to shortyawards.com/besteveryou. Now, Lauren, you're also nominated for a Shorty Award. Do you want to tell – it's shortyawards.com/Lauren M. Galley, right?
Yes, I'm nominated under charity.
Charity. Okay, so perfect. So vote if you get a chance. The vote's cast through Twitter. And we appreciate you heading that direction to vote for us because it's actually meaningful. Best Ever You is nominated in small business, for example, and the top six have a chance to win. So that means you get to go to New York and perhaps accept an award in each category. So maybe we'll see you in New York, Lauren.
Hopefully.
Keep those votes coming in. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. All right, take care. Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.